welcome to Renew by Down to Earth Ministries. My name is Isaiah Powell, the founder and director here at DTEM, and I'm going to be your host for today's episode of Renew. And today we're going to be starting a multi-part look at Nehemiah chapter 9 as we look at who our God is. Nehemiah 9:31 through 32 says this: "Nevertheless, for thy great mercy's sake, thou didst not utterly consume them nor forsake them, for thou wert a gracious and merciful God. Now therefore, our God, the great, the mighty, and the terrible God, who keepest covenant and mercy, let not all the trouble seen little before thee, that hath come upon us, on our kings, on our princes, and on our priests, and on our prophets, and on our fathers, and on all thy people since the time of the kings of Assyria unto this day." These verses here kind of sum up of what this chapter is about. And this chapter here, Nehemiah, includes a prayer, actually the longest prayer written down in the Bible. And there's really three sections to this prayer, and these verses that we just read are kind of a transition, or the beginning of a transition, into the third and final section of the prayer from the previous sections. So we're going to look at 25 things, 25 attributes of God here from Nehemiah chapter 9. Now, I'm sure you could find a lot more of them, but we're just going to look at 25. And first, we find in verse number 5 where the prayer starts. It says this: "Then the Levites," and then it goes on to name some, says, "said, stand up and bless the Lord your God forever and ever, and blessed be thy glorious name, which is exalted above all blessing and praise." So here we see our glorious God, that great God that they talked about in verse 31 and 32. They said, "our God," and here we're seeing more about who their God, who is also our God, is. And first off, he's glorious. Number two, he is the only God. Verse number 6 says, thou art Lord alone. The third thing we see also from verse number 6 is that he is the creator of all. "Thou hast made heaven, the heaven of heavens, with all their hosts, the earth and all things that are therein, the seas and all that is therein." He's the creator of all that. Number 4, also from verse number 6, he is the sustainer of all. It continues on and says, "and thou preservest them all." Fifth thing, coming from the end of verse number 6, "and the host of heaven worshipeth thee." He is worthy of worship, not just our worship, but even that of the angels. He is worthy of worship. Sixth thing comes from verses 7 through 8. He is a covenant maker. It says, "Thou art the Lord, the God, who didst choose Abram and broughtest him forth out of Ur of the Chaldees and gave him the name of Abraham, and foundest his heart faithful before thee, and madest a covenant with him to give the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Jebusites, and the Girgashites to give it, I say, to his seed, and hast performed thy words, for thou art righteous." He is the covenant maker. We also see a few other things there. We see that he is the divine deliverer. He brought Abram at the time, out of the land of Ur, out of the Chaldees, and made him into Abraham. See, not every deliverance story starts from chains and prisons or dark, gloomy places. Sometimes it's a deliverance from a regular life to a life that is led by God. That what makes him not just any normal deliverer. Anyone can walk up to a homeless person on the street, give them a change of clothes, give them a bath and a clean place to stay and feed them and deliver them from homelessness. But God can deliver from anything into a life that is glorious by him, led by him. That's what makes him the divine deliverer. The number 8 thing we see here is that he is faithful. Verse number 8 tells us how he made the covenant and he kept it. It says that he performed his words. He made the promise and he was faithful to keep it. And number 9, the last thing from verse number 8, says, "thou art righteous." He is a righteous God. The 10th thing we see is that he is watchful. In verse number 9, it says, "And did see the affliction of our fathers in Egypt, and heard us their cry by the Red Sea." He was watchful. He saw their affliction, and he heard their cry. He attentively was paying attention and watching. The number 11 thing comes from verse number 10. "And shewest signs and wonders upon Pharaoh and all his servants and all the people of his land, for thou knewest that they dealt proudly against them. So didst thou get thee a name as it is this day." He is a name maker. He made a name for himself. Just talked about how he changed Abram into Abraham. He also changed Jacob into Israel. He is the name maker. And in verse number 10, he made a name for himself. Israel knew who God was, but Egypt didn't. Even Pharaoh said, "Who is this God that I should let his people go? I don't know him. Who is he?" God showed himself to Pharaoh and to Egypt, and he made a name for himself that people remembered. And that's just a little bit about what this chapter tells us about who our God is. We're about halfway through, and next time we'll finish it as we look at in Nehemiah chapter 9 about who our God really is. Until then, God bless.